This is a Living the RV Dream Rewind for Friday, December 15th, 2017.
I'm riding, 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 riding with my RV,
my RV,
wherever I want to be. 'Cause I'm free in my RV.
Hello, happy campers, and welcome to Living the RV Dream, the Free in My RV podcast. I am your host, as always, Robert Morales, podcasting either from my sticks and bricks in Miami or an undisclosed location on board my Winnebago Micro Mini 1706FB. And today, well, it's happened. I'm going to have to give you a rerun, a rewind the show. We're rewinding to episode number 22, in which I interviewed a couple, an expat family living in the Netherlands. And they talk about a trip they did in France using the French equivalent of our America's harvest hosts, which is called France Passion. By the time you hear this, I'm probably on a plane on my way to Las Vegas. Yes, we're spending the weekend there, and I'll tell you all about it on the next episode. And of course, I'm going to upload a YouTube video as well. With that, I'm going to leave you with that interview that I did back in August. Okay, today we are chatting with Jeff and Elizabeth, and they are expats coming all the way from Amsterdam in the Netherlands, and it's my great pleasure to be chatting with them. Hello, guys. How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. It is evening for you guys, and I'm here in the early afternoon.
Yes, it is early evening here in the Netherlands. And that's one of the challenges we have living over here. We're 6 hours from East Coast time in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it is a beautiful country. I've been there once, actually, only Amsterdam, and we had a great, great time.
If you had a good time in Amsterdam, you will have a fantastic time in the rest of the country. And The country is perfect for taking camping cars around.
By the way, if you don't mind saying, what brought you to the Netherlands?
Sure, we're actually here for Jeff's work. He's working at the university here in the Netherlands. And the kids and I are kind of enjoying the country while he's doing that. And we've been traveling all around trying to show the kids some of Europe and some of the Netherlands. And we actually have the little boys. We have a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 6-month-old. Oh, wow. That was born here, actually. But the two little ones are in Dutch school. So they're speaking Dutch, even though we don't speak any Dutch.
Oh, you don't speak any Dutch. But
no.
the good thing is, in the Netherlands, most people speak English. That I found out.
So. It's so easy to get around here. When you think of a foreign country, the Netherlands seems foreign enough. But once you get here, you realize it's really easy to be an expat in this country. Mm-hmm. English is easy. You're in the Eurozone here. Travel is easy. Public transportation is great. Mm-hmm. We have no complaints.
And so you decided to make an RV trip in France.
Yes. So they have a 2-week break here in May. And we were thinking, what should we do for 2 weeks? And we decided we should rent.
We had a lot of great ideas.
But we decided we should rent a camper van and
They call them camping cars here in the Netherlands.
Yeah, an RV.
I'm used to RV or camper van, but it's camping car here.
Yeah.
Camping car.
Camping car.
I was online, looking up where we should go. And this program called France Passion came up, and they actually have a program in the U.S. that's similar called Harvest Host.
Yes,
I'm familiar with it. Yes.
So France Passion, you can stay on these farms, you buy a membership, and you stay for free. And we thought, okay, this seems like it'd be something fun to do with the kids. But of course, we had never rented an RV before.
We're first-time camping car people. Yeah. But the allure of France Passion, it's only 35 euros to join for a year, and you get a sticker for your camping car, and you can stay at one of these thousands of farms. at no cost. It's a fantastic idea. So we wanted to check that out.
Yeah, in the US it's about the similar price. They just, you know, you are expected to spend some money at whatever place you stay at as a token of your appreciation. You know, if you stay at a winery, buy a bottle of wine. I don't know how it works in...
Well,
yeah, that's exactly how it works in France. And we actually found, though, that every place we went, we wanted to buy stuff. We were at these cheese farms and these... We actually drove through the wine region of France. So it was perfect.
We ended up at orchards and had sparkling cider. We were at vineyards. We were in the Champagne region. We had cheeses. It was phenomenal.
It must have been fantastic. And as I see, I'm looking at your blog right now, and you got a little more than a camper van. You got what we would say it's more like a Class C in the American style, which by European standards is huge.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's a Weinsberg Alkuf 700 DG. reason that happened was because we have three children.
Yes.
So with five people in the camping car, we could not do a four seatbelt RV. We had to go with a six seatbelt. Mm-hmm. And that meant going with a very large vehicle, which we were uncomfortable with. It's huge. And I'd never driven one before.
We had this total moment of panic picking up the RV. It was like, are we sure we want to do this? Is this a good idea? I'm in the car following him home with the kids. He's in the RV.
You had panic. Mm-hmm. I don't have a stick. And it was a stick shift.
Oh, you don't have a stick. Yeah, this it's a Ducato. It's a Fiat Ducato chassis. Yeah.
So I kept it in first gear the whole way.
Oh, my gosh.
So the rental company didn't hear me crying in the gears.
I understand, because the first couple of hours you realize you have all that big piece of car behind you. It's, after a while, I guess you get used to it.
But we did definitely by the end of the trip. Jeff was a pro, but we got it into our neighborhood, and we live in a little Dutch neighborhood. He needed to kind of reverse it back by our house, and he couldn't. He couldn't get it into reverse at all.
It turns out I should have paid attention when I picked it up. The guy explained to me how to kick it into reverse, which is just a very simple lift up action as you change the gear.
But luckily, you know, everybody else here drives stick. So a neighbor was walking a dog and stopped by to see, they love renting camper vans here.
The Dutch do this all the time.
So he actually hopped in with Jeff and was helping him get it into reverse. just to load it up.
Right. So it is there's a lot of infrastructure, I imagine, and it is a popular activity to travel by caravan, as they call it in.
Yes, and there's actually, we found out there's so much infrastructure kind of throughout Europe. In France, there were actually signs on every rural road leading us to the closest dump site, and kind of one of the main gas stations has a place where you can get your water and dump gray water, dump your toilet, all of that.
Yeah, servicing points, and it was just a 2 euro coin. And you could get electricity or water or dump water. So the country of the Netherlands is set up for it. France was particularly set up for it. There was even a guide you could buy in the local shops that would show you the locations and a map of all the free and for fee servicing points. Mm-hmm.
So it is easy to overnight, like impromptu, like serendipitously, if you don't have a reservation or anything like that. Because, you know, in the U.S. we have Walmarts, but not all of them let you stay overnight. So I don't know exactly how it is in Europe.
We found, like, we had a book with campsites in it. So one of the things we decided is Jeff and I travel probably with the kids 100 days a year. And we're usually very meticulous planners. But one of the things we wanted to do with this trip was just get in the car and see what we wanted to do, see where we wanted to go. Mm-hmm. The France Passion doesn't allow you to make any reservations. So we just took off with no plans. I mean, kind of a general plan, but no plans.
And every night you stayed at one of these places in the France Passion program?
Two nights we did actually just stay at campsites, like at a van campsite that we had, the RV people had given us a book. And those, it seemed like everyone was pulling in without reservation. It was no trouble at all.
For those who love to take RV trips, France is a great place to just go. And May was the beginning of high season there. It wasn't crowded. Mm. It was perfect everywhere we went. The weather was great. And it was the type of place where you could just decide the night before which direction you wanted to head. Mm-hmm. We had ambitious plans for the France trip. We thought we were going to see most of the country. And as we got into it, we realized we loved the back roads and the farms and all the small sites. And we cut our trip in half, really.
We did find that most of the big tourist attractions like Mont Saint-Michel and Normandy did actually have a parking fee you could pay for an RV to stay overnight. So a couple times we considered like, hey, if we're here all day, we'll just pay the fee and stay in the parking lot. But we ended up kind of getting back and being able to make it to a farm. But it's definitely set up to just go and explore, and you can have a great trip.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
For those used to staying in campgrounds with their RV or in parking lots, something like France Passion or Harvest Host will completely blow your mind away. It just changes the paradigm of taking an RV out. It was a destination at the end of every day. Going to the farm was an activity for us and the children. They loved going out to see the animals and buying things in the shops. And we thought sleeping in vineyards was super romantic.
You mean a couple times we were like the only ones. They would say, park anywhere in the orchard or park anywhere, you know, on the road through the vineyard. A couple of the places had more kind of set up spots. And in fact, one of the places actually had separate showers and water hookup and everything. But we ended up with these gorgeous places to stay every night, which was just incredible.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm really interested in this because that's something I want to do in the future, maybe next year or the year after, you know, do like a European RV trip and do something like that. Did the kids have a good time as well? Were there activities for them to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think they had one of the best trips because it felt like all their stuff was with us every time. They could eat like all their snacks. They could eat. They loved like just hanging out. I don't know, all the family time.
There were no real stress points after the first day learning how to drive the RV. Imagine sleeping in your car, eating in your car, using the toilet in your car, showering in your car, and doing all of the tasks with the car. They could be part of it and they loved it. Filling the water, dumping the gray water, going into a shop to buy things. You were able to involve the entire family in the whole trip, including the planning. We had a map taped up inside the RV and we would plot where we went each day, and the kids could help us decide what to see next based on the France Passion pictures.
Yeah. And at each farm, it was like they were so delighted to have the kids. I mean, at one place, she let them get up in the morning and go collect their own eggs. At another place, they did. It sounded like we cut out for a second. But at another farm, they were able to just like run around. It was on a creek's edge, and they just ran around, and it was amazing. It was just amazing.
This is the way to travel with kids, for sure.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, no, it's going from hotel to hotel can be stressful. And by the way, what was more or less, what was your itinerary? What areas of France? You mentioned Champagne, you mentioned some areas, but more or less, give us an idea, like on a map.
So Jeff actually has the map out. Yeah, he has the map out here. So
she looked at me, and it was this look of, I don't know where we went. We have seen the immediate area of the Netherlands and Belgium. So from our house to get to the French border is 4 hours. Mm-hmm. So on the first day, we pushed into France. We made it halfway between Rotterdam and the Normandy coastline. So we spent the night in the Rouen region. And then we were looking at the map and we decided we really wanted to go see
Giverny Monet's garden, which
with the lily pad, or
the water lilies. And like I said, that was kind of the goal of the trip, was like if we saw something, we would just go do it. So we jogged south a bit and then headed back up to the coast.
Yeah, and then we spent some time in Normandy a few nights, and then pushed further west to Mont Saint-Michel, which is, people have seen the iconic picture that the island is an island at high tide and then a peninsula at low tide. And it's a beautiful area, overrun with tourists, though. So we, from there, headed a bit further west into Brittany. And then from there, went south to Nantes, which the kids loved. Mm-hmm. And then east into the Loire Valley.
Oh, the Loire Valley. Yeah, you visited the castles of the Loire.
Yes, yeah. So we kind of are now starting to circle back around Paris. Like Paris was, I joked that everywhere we drove, we were headed towards Paris because that's where the signs would have been. But we were kind of just making a little circle around seeing the outskirts.
A big circle or oval around northern France.
Yeah, and you didn't make it all the way to Bordeaux, right? And no, you just...
No, Bordeaux was in the plan. We wanted to go there, mm-hmm. but we got into this trip. We were having so much fun doing the things up north. And then we pushed over into the Champagne region, mm-hmm. spent a few there, and back through Luxembourg City, uh-huh. then through Belgium, and back to Rotterdam.
Did you go to Paris or no? Right?
No, we didn't.
That would be suicide.
Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's an RV friendly place.
It's not very RV friendly. No. But we're looking at the map, and I will say, in all the different wine regions, so like in Bordeaux and Champagne, and
Valley has some decent wines.
The Loire Valley, there's just a ton of these farm stays. I mean, it was like we pulled up on several. What I would call estates, mm-hmm. and we're able to just park in the front of the estate. We could get out. We did our wine tasting, bought a couple bottles, and then went back to the RV and put out our table and stuff to make dinner with wine we had just purchased. Yeah. I mean, it was
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Pay hundreds of dollars a night to stay at these chateaus.
Yeah,
of course, we were parked out front of the chateau.
Mm-hmm. Our RV for free.
For free,
and we did. We put the bicycles on the back of the RV, which
was a bonus for having the large 6-person because it had the internal space in the back for.
Yeah, we had a bike rack on the back too, but Jeff decided we would just load them into the back.
Like 7 meters.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture right now. It had like a very big storage area right under the bed. Right, there's probably a bed back there and.
Yes, there was. Yeah, and we pushed our bicycles right under there. Ooh. And then that was perfect because a couple of the places we parked, like the farms, we could have driven the RV out again, but it was so convenient to just, you know, get on the bike and bike back out.
And we have children's seats on our bikes, so we were able to put all the kids on the bikes and go into town for dinner and come back to the farm for the night.
Oh, that's perfect.
What an amazing thing to do with a family.
Mm-hmm. What was if there was one place? What was your favorite place along this trip?
What was the where was the night we were the only ones in the?
That was in the Loire Valley, and we were just the only ones there, and we were in a small town. It was a wine producing chateau. We're the only ones there.
But there were like vineyards and like a river running through it. That day we had gone and done one of the castles and a garden for the kids and the weather was like perfect, but we pulled in and
it was 75 degrees and sunny and we just walked around the estate, played.
We put
the
out a blanket for dinner. The kids actually got to watch them bottle. They were putting corks in bottles, and they got to watch them do that. And then they were pretty much like, all right, we're gone for the night, but you guys enjoy the...
Do whatever you need.
Yeah. So we went out on a walk and...
it was perfect.
The kids were running in the vineyard. I mean, it was lovely. And we had dinner out by the river on a picnic blanket. It was perfect.
So that was, I would say, the highlight of the trip. The scariest moment of the trip, if we can, occurred on the first day. We had driven to France and we were approaching our first farm stay. It was brand new and exciting for us. First time we were going to meet a farmer and pull our RV in. And Google Maps sent us down a street and had us doing, I would say, a 160 degree left-hand turn.
And there was a sign, like two street signs. So Jeff made the turn, but then, you know, the car's so big, it has that front part too, because it has the bed up at top.
Mm-hmm.
So he, like, when I got out of the car, he was like inches from the sign in the front and inches from the sign in the back. And every time he went to put it into reverse, he was slipping forward.
And it was one of those moments where you think, I can't get out of this. There's no solution to this. How did I get into this mess? So I just put the parking brake on. We turned off the RV and we sat there for a minute. And there were angry locals pulling up behind us. And there was a ferry in the town. So people were trying to get to the ferry and we're blocking the road. And had we gone forward, we hit a sign. Had we gone backward, we hit a sign.
But he saw out the window, Jeff saw a farmer driving a tractor. And so he hopped out and he went over to the farmer.
People who drive tractors.
Yeah, know how to drive sticks. Mm-hmm. Well, the guy doesn't speak English, so Jeff's using kind of broken French to have the guy come over. And he comes over and he got in the car and like it was no trouble, backed us up onto the road. Didn't slip forward.
one smooth motion and we were out of the problem.
So I go into the back of the RV and I grab the one bottle of wine we had packed, which was an Italian red, and we're giving it to the farmer
in France.
You know,
like insulting this guy.
So he put us back on the road, and then he knew exactly where we were headed, was told us that was the old road. We can actually now just follow the paved road. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we thought, okay, well, the worst is behind us. And it was. I mean, we really didn't have any other trouble.
Oh, I don't think so. I think there was a second worst event, and that was when we went down a one-lane bridge. And
Oh yeah.
Coming in the other direction
was another
car pulling a tow behind trailer. It's coming in the opposite direction,
and we were like just wide enough for both of us to get through, but with no space. But they got out, we got out, we were inching past each other,
pulling mirrors in.
Mm-hmm. But you know the thing is, like everyone else with a tow behind with an RV is waving at us as we're driving. It felt like they were happy to help us. When at one campsite we had to use the leveling blocks, which we had never used, and another couple got out and was helping us and said, this is a true marriage test, you know, because I'm coaching him forward on the block. And
I think because we had a Dutch RV and we live in the Netherlands, we understand Dutch people, the Dutch license plates are yellow, and most of the rest of the EU license plates are white. So you can spot a Dutch vehicle pretty far away. And I think other Dutch people would see our yellow plates and wave at us, thinking we were their country.
Yeah. Boat.
Yeah.
And they would help us out.
Actually, I think that the RV community is like that everywhere. You know, it's usually the nicest people and everybody helps each other.
That's at least on several of the French passion stays. There was one other RV. A lot of the places are capped at just two or three RVs. And I would say at about half of them, we had another RV there. And so we got to meet other people that were RVing and talk to them about, I mean, some of them come over and do this in France for 2 or 3 months and are living in the UK. We met a couple. We met a bunch of people who were doing the same thing down from the Netherlands for their May break. But it was wonderful.
It was wonderful. Mm. But if I could say one thing, I think that we mostly saw older people in the RV.
Mm. Well, that tends to be the case. Although I think that's a trend that is changing even here. A lot of young people are starting to RV.
Great.
But generally speaking, it's retired people that do it the most.
Well, they've got the time and the resources.
Exactly.
It's a great thing for families, and I really want to emphasize that it was scary for us up front with driving a stick, a big vehicle on European roads, all of the unknowns, but it really was a home run family adventure.
Yeah, and I think it took a lot of the challenge of traveling in Europe out. Like so much of the challenge is small hotel rooms, and we were able to park outside of cities and take public transportation in. We did that in Luxembourg, we did that in Nantes. So you could come and do the RVing here and still get to do all of that fun European cities and small towns, but not have to worry about hotel rooms. Yeah,
that's the good thing in Europe. The public transportation is a lot better than...
Yeah, and they run from every small town. Mm-hmm, exactly. So you can park and catch the train in.
Okay, as we start wrapping this up, is this something that you would do again in the future? I don't know if you plan to do this eventually full time. I don't know. It's what your final thoughts on this?
We would definitely do this again. I think I went into it thinking like, this is going to be a one-time thing. We're going to do it and check it off our list. And we definitely think we want to do it again. We are, that's one of the things that's on our list for like, when we're back in the United States, we want to go RVing because there's all these places now we feel like are open to doing that. Yeah, and I think accessible. Actually we've been looking for another place in Europe to try it out again.
Right. I think Italy, the romantic Rhine in Germany would be great. In the US.
I've heard Germany has a lot of infrastructure and the UK has a lot of infrastructure too.
Scotland is a huge mm-hmm. area to go RVing that we'd like to try as well. So we have been made into, we're converts.
I don't think we'll buy an RV, but we're really open to doing more trips.
Do it like a vacation kind of thing. Where can people find you online? I know you have the blog.
Yes, you can find us on the blog, DutchDutchGoose.com.
What does that mean anyway, Dutch Goose? Where did this name come from?
It just came from a play of we were moving abroad with our little kids, so kind of like Duck Duck Goose, but we moved to the Netherlands, so Dutch Dutch Goose.
Oh, that's really cool.
And then, of course, we're always posting pictures on Instagram of our travels, and you can find us there at EJDN.
All right. I'll put links to all that in the show notes for this episode. And I really appreciate you coming on the Living the RV Dream podcast.
Thanks
so much.
And I hope to see you on the road sometime.
Yes.
Cheers.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.